Chairperson Dineo.
Present.
Vice Chair Ramirez.
Present.
Commissioner Abboud.
Present.
Commissioner Bugley.
Present.
Commissioner Leyva.
Present.
Commissioner McBride.
Present.
Commissioner McCormick.
Present.
Quorum's present.
Thank you. First item, we're going to talk about public comments and discussion. There's a three-minute limit, and we'd like you to stay to that limit. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to within the authority of the Carson City Cultural Commission. In order for members of the public to participate in the Cultural Commission's consideration of an agenda item, the Cultural Commission strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an item during the item itself, subject to a three-minute limit. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. So for possible action, adoption of the agenda as presented. Oh, we have a public comment. I'm sorry. Hi, Carol.
Moving around.
For the record, am I on?
And your name, please.
For the record, I'm Carol Brown, an artist. I'm here to announce the Kids Art Contest at the Carson Farmers Market, 3rd and Curry Street, the month of July.
Neat.
Brianna Coons, the market manager, is encouraging kids to attend Farmers Market this summer and is sponsoring a kids booth with Christina Martinelli and her husband, setting up art crafts and crafts for the children. Saturday, there were 20 kids painting with acrylic paints. All were having fun and taking art home with them. I'm at the kids' booth during July to promote the Kids Art Contest, also sponsored by the Farmers Market. I have placed posters similar to this at the Boys and Girls Club, the Children's Museum, the City Library, the UNR Cooperative Extension Office, and the Gather Restaurant as the table part of this contest. Information should be on the Farmers Market calendar and Facebook page and website. There are five age groups from 5 to 18. The subject of the art contest is farm to table, encouraging children to think about farms, where their food comes from, and how to select healthy foods at the market. Brianna has purchased ribbons for winners and honorable mentions. She's donating Farmer Market t-shirts to five winners. I'm handing out contest rules the first 2 weeks in July. On July 20th, the kids will bring their artwork to the kids' booth at the market and complete an entry form, and I'll put their artwork and entry form in boxes according to their age group. On Wednesday, July 24th, Mark Salinas has offered to host the judging at Adams Hub. I have three judges for that event, and then on the last Saturday in July, July 27th, the winners and honorable mentions will see their art hanging at the kids' booth and receive their prizes and ribbons at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's wonderful.
And I have, people can take a photo of this, the entry rules on the poster. I have some extra ones with me today if you need them. Okay. I can also come to the market Saturday to pick them up.
Okay. Thank you so much, Carol. Wonderful idea. Any comments, anybody, on that one? Okay. We have another. Oh, we know these lovely ladies. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Sharon Ross, Capital City Arts Initiative. We're delighted to present our summer show with Cindy Brenneman and Tom Draculich. The reception is this Friday from 5 to 7. I gave you all another flyer. And we hope you can join us. Cindy's been on six of seven continents painting, and we're thrilled to be able to have her work here. We juxtaposed it with Tom's ceramics, abstract ceramics, and are delighted with how they interact with each other. Tom was just designated as city artist for the city of Reno, like poet laureate, but they gave him the title city artist. He has an opening on his show at Metro Gallery Thursday from 5 to 7. We have the WNC show up in the Brick through September 12th. There are 17 student artists there. I hope you can stop by and see the show. New Crop, which is the essay that we handed out, is at the courthouse through the end of September. And all three of our exhibits, all of the ongoing exhibits are a team effort, but a CCAI team effort. They benefit tremendously from board member Glenn Clemmer's curatorial eye and installation eye. And I really appreciate it. We just closed 2019, fiscal 19, and we served 540 students, high school and college students during that year. So since we have one of our artists sitting right here, are there any questions?
It's an incredibly beautiful show. You've done an amazing job. I just want to stay here and look at it and read it all. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. I've invited Glenn and Sharon to come to my house to rehang all my art on all three floors. I don't think they said yes. I even offered them a room, you know, they could spend the night. So I just wanted to say, when Glenn asked me to do this, all the little sketches were still in my sketchbooks. And I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I was really lucky to find these photo frames. Then I discovered that I mostly paint horizontal or landscapes. So I did have to fill them in with some verticals that I quickly sketched. Doesn't take much time and doesn't take much. This is all it takes. And I want to encourage all of you to try to find a style of your own and spend some time trying to document your trips, too. And I'm going in September. I'm making another trip to Barcelona and Tunisia and Malta. And if anybody wants to follow me on that trip, give me your email. Wow. And I'll send you one of my little sketches with a pic collage around it.
Boy, I certainly do. Well, they're just beautiful.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions or comments? To both of you, Cindy and Sharon, we all owe you a debt of gratitude for Carson City and all you've done for us. Thank you. Okay. So, adoption of the agenda is next on our docket. Any comments?
No changes to the agenda as presented.
As presented. You made the motion. Is there a second? Second?
I'll second it.
In favor?
Aye.
It passed. Okay, approval of minutes. We have the minutes of the May 13th meeting in front of us. Are there any comments? Are there any corrections, additions, changes?
I have a very small correction on page 6.
Okay.
I move to approve the minutes with the correction that Ellie presented.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Terry. Yeah, Terry did. Okay, so we have moved right along to item 5. Mark, would you like to take the lead on this one?
Sure. Thank you for spending one of your summer evenings here at the community center. Say that to both the audience and the commissioners. This is going to be a discussion of possible action regarding the Department of Arts and Culture's recommended project calendar and budget for fiscal 1920. What I want to do before we get to the meat and potatoes of this is kind of lead you through where we last left off at our special meeting in April. So this frame that we have up here on the television screen is what I presented not only to the commission, but also to the public at our open house budget. As you know, there's no general fund support. The entire arts and culture department, both staff and operating supplies, is by 1% occupancy tax. And that 1% is estimated and given to me by the Visitors Bureau, the CTA. And the estimated revenue was $207,000. So this is not a new number. These are the same numbers I shared with you back in April. When you take my salary and benefits out, it leaves $73,647. And this services and supplies. And that's also a photograph of myself assisting Dion and Trish Reynolds putting up the cowboy mural, which is one of the finalists for Nevada Appeals Best of Public Art. And we'll see if they win that.
Mark, may I interrupt you for a moment to tell members of the audience, if you look at that, services and supplies for every show, every pencil, everything for the year is all wrapped up in that 73,000 number. That's it.
So when we take that 73,000 number, and this is, of course, another image that you saw back in April, for the first time, I'm breaking it down into three categories: operating supplies, professional services, and arts, public arts programming. I've been here in this position 2.5 years, and I've determined that money falls within these three categories. The lion's share going, of course, to public art programming. Operating supplies, you see there, is estimated $16,000. That covers rents, my office rent. As you know, I'm a Department of One, so whenever I can attend a national conference to network with associates, I will. Regional conferences, office, computer supplies, online services. You'll see any type of flyer, you know, something that I make out of Photoshop, trying to keep the cost down as opposed to hiring out people to do it, even down to memberships, even down to $30 a year memberships. The Downtown Business Association, the Reno Tahoe Territory, Americans for the Arts, National Association of Latino Arts and Cultures. A lot of these organizations, you need to become a member to even apply for a grant. So keep those memberships active so we can be active in their networks. Professional services, you'll see here, CCAI, for the first time I'm putting forward a contract with them. As you know, for the past over 10 years, they've been providing, services in public, Carson City public buildings. Photographers, videographers, whenever I hold an event, in order to document it, it's going to cost us money. Approximately $275 per person per event. Art handlers, gallery services, repairs, advertisement, commissioner retreat, or any type of specialists. I will mention that you may have noticed that the lighting outside Da Vinci was vandalized. It was stomped on. So, you know, that is going to be a cost I will probably take out of professional services there where you see gallery services and repairs. Now, you know, in finance, these three Excel squares exist, and you know, on them. But there is ability to move money around at certain times of the year. In that, so I'll give you an update on DaVinci when we get there. But public art programming, as I said, that's the lion's share. And that's $47,000. Now in red, you'll see placeholders, ideas of past events, ideas of future events, and these are just basically to give an idea of what that could be. Next screen is going to bring us up to today, where we're actually looking at that last square, $47,000. And I want the public and I want the commission to understand why there's an allocation between Department of Arts and Culture for $12,000 and the Cultural Commission for over $35,000. And what I have there is both my job description and the commissioner's job description. I want to make it very clear and apparent that we're sharing the chore of creating and allocating money for events. And I want the public to be tuned in on that as well. So Arts and Culture Coordinator job description: develop, implements, and oversees arts cultural programs, recommends, develops, and implements short, long-term goals, objectives, projects, creates and seeks partnerships with opportunities, nonprofits, schools, other organizations. And then under CMCC, are there three C's in there? Carson City Municipal Code is what that should be, but the number is correct, 2.41.0.08. You'll see there under C, the Cultural Commission is to advise on the allocation of funds from a cultural trust fund and other general fund revenues appropriated to the arts. Now, that was written in 2008, long before we had an Arts and Culture Master Plan, long before I was here. And, you know, I look at that allocation of funds. That's something that we do with redevelopment annually for the past almost a decade. But I also see the Cultural Commission's responsibility in helping me provide some of the transparency for the decision-making that we make for public art here in Carson City. Let's take this to the next screen. And so what I want to do, having broken this down and explained it, is put together a track, a goal, a budget, and a calendar for our next fiscal year. Here we are in July. And I'd like us to convene like this every July to put forth a budget and a calendar. And why do we want to do this? Well, it provides a clear, trackable objective throughout the fiscal year. It provides a balanced programming throughout the year. So what does that mean? Well, by looking at the entire year, we can say to ourselves, are we reaching out to the youth? Are we reaching out to the seniors? Let's take a look at our Arts and Culture Master Plan to make sure that we're reaching out to those community members. Thirdly, it provides balanced collaboration throughout the fiscal year. That's collaboration with businesses, not-for-profits, state, local organizations. Shows that we have a robust year-round programming that we can look at every month and see where we're at. Trying to target, shoulder season, having some activities there when tourism is a little low. Clearly communicate the capacity of limited staff and budget. It gives you an idea of what I'm working on and with what. Allows for the annual appointment of cultural commissioners to a public art panel. So here we are, we're going to nail everything out in the beginning of the year. We'll make nominations later on at this meeting for my recommended projects. Allows the Cultural Commission meetings to become updates. So the Arts and Culture Coordinator Report will be the updates on these projects. Okay. And finally, I think it activates, this public art policy draft. It sort of ties together the Commission Charter, the Arts and Culture Master Plan, my job description. Chair Donnell, you had mentioned seeking a board retreat, because you felt that we needed some type of bigger picture. And I think that what you'll see here gives us that picture. It not only provides the opportunity for the commissioners to create that calendar, but also to mine that calendar, because as these projects roll up, I would hope that everyone would keep that in mind. They could see a new partner we could bring into something that we have in the works.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. I think that this really kind of does it all, and at some point, perhaps, the board will then feel that there's not a need, at least this year, for a special retreat, because we'll see how this goes and how everybody feels about it.
So I apologize for this being in small type, but all the commissioners have a copy. There are copies for the general public there at the front door. But this is a one-shot glance at everything I've just discussed. So I want to walk through this with you, column by column. So time frame, that's starting in July of 2019, running to June 2020. We have a program name. Third column is department, and that's that $12,000 I'm allocating to myself as the Arts and Culture Department to allocate as per my job description. That next column is the commission, and that is your $35,000 plus. We have a description, and the last column there you'll see is where I would recommend to put public art panels together. What I have elected to do is actually go through my department column with some images of how I've decided to allocate those $12,000 for next fiscal year, and then go through the commission. I have some pictures for you to give you a better perspective. And again, this 2.5 years here, these are sort of my recommendations for, as per my job description, to reach out to many parts of the community in fulfilling that Arts and Culture Master Plan. You'll see if you follow the column all the way down, department, you'll see that 12,000. If you follow the commission's column all the way down, you'll see the 35. And you'll note that the allocated funds, or recommended funds, we're not spending every dollar there. I'm recommending about a 20% reserve. We don't want to run the tank empty on this. So let me go through. Are there any questions so far? I want to really make sure that everyone understands every step that we take here together. Okay? So I'm going to go through some allocated funds for some projects. for next fiscal year. And we actually have two organizations here in the audience that can speak a public comment regarding one or two of these. So you'll see City Hall Gallery, $900. That's a year-round thing. This is a new 18-foot wall in City Hall that we were able to carve out some space to exhibit art. The top portion there is are pieces that we own, that the city owns. The lower picture there is were some fantastic pieces from the artist residency program in Silver City. It's also an area where we have a free little library. We are distributing about one book every 3 days in that. That thing is super busy because we get so many people in City Hall paying bills and permits and that sort of stuff. They want to take a little reading with them. The show that's up currently is Michelle Peltier, and if she looks familiar, she was one of the winners at the Reno Tahoe Airport show that we put together earlier this year. My colleagues in Reno chose three winners. Michelle was the first one, followed by Rachel Stiff, August, September, and followed by Fred Howland here, who's going to round out the year for us. So we're booked for this year, and I do have some ideas I'll share later on for 2020, January 2020. The next item you'll see is $1,000, and there's a basin range exchange program that the NAC has put together. Fantastic meeting in Tonopah, and there's about 40 arts organizations, professionals, artists, BIDs, economic development organizations coming together. And the concept was to pair an urban and rural entity with a year-long exchange. I'm paired with Tonopah. And so what the Visitors Bureau in Tonopah and myself, because we're both Visitor Bureau funded, what we have decided upon is putting together not only online monthly sort of splices of our public art to create a new piece of art conceptually. We're sending the parasols from the Carson City Arts and Culture Coalition to Tonopah for their arts festival in August. And then later on in the year, putting together Carson, much like what we did at the airport with success, putting a smaller version of maybe 15 pieces to go to Tonopah to be installed in their city hall, and then they'll bring their works to be installed in our city hall. So there are some efforts there to reach out to businesses and casinos and breweries with, like and tag a friend, and I'm working on those donations right now, but this it should be a pretty robust program.
Mark, does the snake get to travel?
That might be a good home for it, you know? Okay, so next item here is Summer Artist Lecture Series. Thrilled that this is going to launch this Thursday at the Brick. There are four lectures, July, August, and September. Reaching out to our neighbors in Silver City with the Artist Residency Program, reaching out to our neighbors at Gardnerville at the Buffalo Creek Art Center. They bring in talent from all over the world to have residencies in their organization. I've developed a friendship with them, so we're able to bring in those artists one by one and have a free artist lecture series for the public here. It's going to be fantastic. The this Thursday, it's going to be Claire Scully from London, and Russ Cannell from Dallas, Texas.
What time?
5 to 6:30, and there are brochures at the front desk for this. This is something that's going to be an annual thing. In August, November of this year, Nevada Recycles, Patty Moen has come before us before with their recycling art competition. Fish has reached out wanting to inform their consumers of how they can upcycle, how we could recycle and find new purposes and uses for some of the items in their store. We all sat at the table, and we're going to put together a Project Runway-style event utilizing surprise boxes of items from Fish to have like a make it or break it event at Adams Hub, feeding into the Nevada Recycles theme this year, which is wearable recyclables. Paint, Sip, and Chip was a huge success last year. 14 people signed up. 98 people showed up. And then, of course, the Mayor's Art Awards. That's the first time event that we're going to do in November. What we see here is Elko's Mayor's Art Awards. Catherine Wines there it has given me all of their paperwork on how to run this. So I feel pretty confident it's going to be a success. I would like to get, you'll see that there is a shared cost there. I would like to get a guest key speaker to this. And I would like to, as they do, hire an artist to make the awards. This is a partnership with the Chamber of Commerce, who's going to run this luncheon as a soups on. And the mayor, yeah, and the mayor's already on board with it. And then lastly, I'm going to buckle and finally bring this back or something similar. A lot of people had asked if I was ever going to bring the fashion films in February back. I think that we could also make it fine art films in February. Could be in January. But I'm going to dedicate some funds and partner with the State Museum to make this happen again. That was a ticketed, sellout event. It was a lot of fun. So those are the items that I have in on my calendar. And these are the items that I'm recommending to the Cultural Commission to consider. As you know, the Carson City was awarded the DOT, I think it's called a build grant, to refurbish South Carson Street. And here what we're looking at is Stewart and South Carson. There's going to be a development of a roundabout, and there's nothing to put in this, I think it's a 30-foot diameter or so. Because of the funding, and the federal funding changed recently, none of that money can be used towards public art. It can be used towards lighting or maybe landscaping. This is one of the topics that we talk about when I go to these conventions in D.C. So we have to either apply for grants or put some of this funding forward, earmarking it for it. So the CTA said that they would match $10,000 if we put down $10,000. I think we should jump on this. So you'll see $10,000 earmarked there. And this has the opportunity to, because it's at a gateway, to really become a landmark, a signature piece that can speak to the city. This is Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is an Alexander Calder back in 67. Now, the NEA was established in 65. The NEA, Grand Rapids just built a new city hall, and it was kind of shabby. And I don't think they'll get mad for me saying it says blighted here. And what they wanted to do was commission an artist to make a brand new piece. Well, Alexander Calder stepped up to it. The NEA gave them about $40,000, and they raised $45,000. They raised $83,000. It took another 2 years or so for Alexander Calder to actually make it and install it, which kind of gives you an idea of how big these projects can run. But look what they did. They took this Alexander Calder, and it's now a part of their letterhead, the city logo, and everything. So, last year, Reno had a lot of Believe, that sculpture, at the bottom of their logo, their letterhead, and I think this has the potential to be something like that with the right people at the table. Secondly on that list is $2,500 for a partnership with the Carson City School District. I'm really, really excited about this project. I strongly recommend it. This is to hire two muralists to paint two sides of a wall. You'll see this wall right here at Empire Elementary. It's in Ward 3. There's one side, and there's the other. Ward 3 has the least amount of arts and culture assets in it. I've gone through every ward and listed everything. So if we're talking about galleries, if we're talking about public art, we're talking about museums, they have the prison, as you know, which is closed, and they also have Silver Saddle, which is an event space. But so we have the opportunity, the board has the opportunity to actually create two new pieces, two new assets for Ward 3 this summer. It's a Hispanic elementary school. I think everything about this is right. And if the commission approves this, I actually have been working on the contract in advance with the DA's office. I've been working in advance on an RFQ, where we would have this turned around and done before school would start August 18th. The wall is 9 feet tall by, I believe, I think 20 feet long. And I've got, these are pictures I took with my, I took out there meeting Susan Squires, the principal, and we also have someone here from the school that can say a word or two once I'm done in this, with the rest of this stuff, okay? Next project is a Lego facade improvement program. So there's a global guerrilla effort out there to seek out broken bricks and tiles and replace them with Legos, right? It's really creative, and the this is a potential partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, the Carson City Library. As you know, they have a Lego Club, and the CTA. I think this is a fun summertime one-day event for kids and their parents, or best friends, or teachers and their classmates, or teachers and their summer students to get out there, hit the streets, and make temporary facade improvements with Legos. This could be a mini art walk. I hear a lot of the times that students don't have the adult equivalent of a wine walk, and so I think this can pander to the youth and get them literally out in the street being creative. And you might say, well, why is, you know, $1,500 is pretty expensive for a bag of Legos. We're looking at about 8 locations, and it was none other than Lee Plummel himself who came up with the idea of having, like, he said, it'd be great if we had like a sandwich board and it was sort of the shape of a Lego that we could put at each site. I was like, Lee, that's brilliant. That's a great idea. You know, we'll have the hashtag there and the, our website information there. And so I'm working with Ben on, you know, as I said, this is usually a guerrilla movement, but I do want to sponsor it and have the community benefit from it. So we are looking at participant waivers and probably focusing on city-owned locations and privately owned locations. And we do have 2 local property owners that have agreed to let us do this to their space. So I think we're getting there. Again, the Mayor's Art Awards, that's at 50-50 of $1,100 a piece. In February of next year, there's Capital Reads program, and Diane Baker had reached out to me this year. It was a little too late for me to get in on it, but she was seeking, you know, maybe I could write some articles for it, or we could somehow do something with, you know, annually that they choose a book. And you remember what we did? We built out 30 days of public programming based upon Charles Portis's True Grit. So, and that brought in everyone from breweries to Department of Wildlife, to the gun club, to restaurants. And so, you know, no matter what book they choose next year, I'm sure that we can find something to plug in to make that a better rounded experience. And we're hitting some of our literary cousins. Okay. Oh, this is a fun one. Da Vinci's birthday. Okay, so next year is going to be Da Vinci's 568th birthday. And I have $1,000 allocated to this. Da Vinci is always in the paper for something or another. And, you know, Burning Man, where it was made, was it's such an active community environment, a fun, active community environment. And I feel that something could be done to advertise this work of art that we own in the same manner. This is next year in April. I think his birthday is April 15th. But let's think ahead. Let's buy 568 something or another for $1 a piece or $2 a piece. And maybe this, you know, I reach out to Parks and Rec. Maybe we have 560 some candles for 24 hours, you know, or posters of candles or something. Maybe we partner with a local Italian restaurant. But let's try to do something fun. This would be like a one-time cost until next year when we just have to buy one more of whatever we do.
What's going on currently with Da Vinci? You said there was damage. And
right.
What's the estimate on it?
Well, the lighting cost, lighting for Da Vinci was about $5,000. And that included not only the fixtures themselves, but running the current underground. You'll see a box out there It's some work. It looked like it was stomped on. So one of the lights, its wire was cut, and so we had Public Works actually make a clean cut and tape it up so there wasn't any, so it was safe. Talking to department, the director of Parks and Rec right now about insurance and what we should do going forward. On an aside, I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, I had a mural organization in New York. That first tag you get really makes you feel pretty bad at night. But you know what? It happens, and it's nothing to worry about. Sometimes that happens, but it doesn't impede progress. And then lastly is the Celebrate Culture Grant, which we have the last thing here on the Agenda 5C. The recommended allocation was $8,000. This would be specifically for ethnic-driven cultural events that celebrate the Basque or Hispanic or African-American or Native American population. That $8,000, I think I recommended to the commission in January when I was putting together the guidelines, which we'll take a look at tonight. One of the items in there was the money for the paint sip and chip. So I'm taking that out of my I think we could shave that down to $7,000 if you want to do it. And so I think or that money could be saved. But I no longer recommend $8,000. I think $7,000 would be good. And some of the qualifying organizations I think that would fall into this would be like the International Film Festival. They've usually applied through redevelopment, but I would recommend that they apply through this. The Polynesian Festival, Father's Day Powwow, Nevada Day Powwow, Paint Sip and Chip, Dia de los Muertos, Chinese New Year Parade. There's different engagement with all those activities. But all of it takes staff hours in putting it together. And then lastly, June 2020, just throwing this out there, you know, this is a year away, that nothing is really set in stone here, but healing arts residency. So 50% of hospitals across the U.S. have an arts healing program. Now, what is that? It could be music, it could be art on the walls, it could be a poet coming through. But it's been proven that arts helps you heal. And one of the largest employers is the hospital. It's an organization that I have not tried to reach out yet to. It's an organization I would like to get to know. And I'm thinking maybe this is an opportunity at that amount for us to hire a music specialist to recommend quartets or bands or something like that, let's say every Friday through the summer. We'd have to work with the hospital. I can't speak for them allowing us to do this in their space, but I would think that anyone here who has visited a loved one in a hospital knows that that waiting room can be a real place of anxiety. Now, so I think this would be a really interesting first step for us to take. And that's as far as I've developed it, and it's just at that $5,000.
I've already made that step, so we should talk about this, yeah. Because we have the Foothill Garden site for the Greenhouse Project, Gardening is Healing, mm-hmm. And there's a wellness walk, and there's some other ways that, and that's right by the Cancer Center, so there's some ways that all of this could be incorporated.
All come together, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you'll see there that these recommended programs at these recommended amounts come to $30,100. With that, there's $5,547 unspent in a reserve fund. Under description, you see all the partners. And if you wouldn't mind, I would love for the school just come up and just say a few words. Adrian Wiggins here is from the Carson City School, Empire Elementary, and she just wants to say a few words in support of that mural project.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. For the record, my name is Adrian.
For the record, my name is Adrian Wiggins, and I am the STEM coach at Empire Elementary School. And so one of our big pushes for next year is we're actually working on becoming a STEM school and working towards becoming a STEAM school in the future, because we really, my master's is in STEAM, and we want to pull that arts in as well. And with this wall, it's one of our big things as far as creating that message, not just for our students. It's a wall, they're out there, they play on it every day, but it's also a wall that anybody in our community drives past and they see. It's a really good way for us to create a message that is common, that the community sees, our parents see, our students see, and it's a way as we're trying to figure out as we're making this step next year and changing kind of the dynamics of our school for the better. We want it to be a great place for our students to learn. And so we kind of feel like this is a good start on the outside, and we're doing a lot of stuff on the inside as well. One of the things we're doing is creating a maker space. Really excited about that. So our students will be able to go in. We're going to have family events where families can come in and create stuff. It's actually going to be called an innovation station. So they can come in and create different things. And so this wall is just kind of the outside image that just kind of helps share with the community what's going on inside of our school. So do you have any questions or? Thank you, and we appreciate you thinking about this, and we're really excited for the change. So thank you.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
And then for the recycling project, Joyce Newman here is here representing FISH, and she can speak a little bit about upcycling and how that's going to our local nonprofit is going to feed into one of our state departments here to make an impact.
Good afternoon, Chairman DeNeo, members of the commission. My name's Joyce Newman, and I'm here on behalf of FISH, as Mark said. I have to tell you, we're really excited about working with the city and with the state on this upcycling project. You know, one of the things we'd like to do through our thrift stores is to emphasize that things don't have to be thrown away, that they can be not only used, but they can be used to even better advantage than their original purpose. So we've had one brief meeting, and it was really exciting. There's a lot of synergy, I think, and a lot of creativity. I could just sit there and listen to Mark talk about ideas all day. It was really exciting. So we're hoping that this all works out well, and we're looking forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any comments or questions, anyone? If you've not visited FISH, go look at the corner. Joyce and I have worked together on this on the marketing committee with FISH, and it's an awesome idea and a fun thing to do.
Well, thank you very much for your support.
Okay. That's great. She's awesome.
So, I'm going to, I've stapled the three staff reports together, 5A, 5B, 5C, to give you some language to consider. And
I actually have some, I have a couple of things I want to bring up. I think it's an appropriate time. Was your budget approved for this, the 19-20 fiscal year? Wasn't that vote in June or May or something? I know that you were working feverishly with the finance director to get your budget in on time. Was that all signed off on? And
right. So when I made the transition from the Visitors Bureau to City Hall, that was March of 2018. And by that time, finance and all the other city departments were in motion. So I brought in the CFO last year, in April, I think, saying that this year I would be presenting the commission a budget. But it's also a budget that I present at the open house. See, the open house is for the explanation of general funds. Because I'm a hotel tax, it's a little different, but it's just as transparent, and that's why I'm there doing that. So the budget it's that 1%. I called the CTA up to get what their projected forecast is, and I bring that to the city manager's office to get their input on it, and then I break it down.
So we're all good to go on fiscal year 1920?
Yeah, you know, this money is, you know, that's the projected estimated revenue.
Okay, all right.
It's the same amount as 1819.
So my second question related to your budget is, has anyone approached the CTA about extending the sunset clause or getting rid of the sunset clause on the 1% room tax that's going to kick in 2021?
When I, at our April special meeting, mm-hmm. I was seated here just before speaking to them about, I think it was the budget. Yeah, it was the budget and the annual report. That's what I showed them.
Right.
And that was brought up a bit. The paperwork that created the 1% occupancy tax started June of 2016. Mm-hmm. And then I started my job in October 2016. So you could say the clock was ticking before I got here, but it also gave us an opportunity to have some accumulated funds mm-hmm. before I got here, which yielded the sculpture that we have out there, you know.
As I recall, at that special meeting, we discussed first, so I proposed going to the Board of Supervisors and the arts community and trying to get, an item on the agenda so that we could offer our support to the Board of Supervisors, but then it was brought up that maybe we should go to the CTA first and get them on board and then go to the Board of Supervisors. So I'm just wondering, where are we with that, and has anybody...
I think there could be more. I think everyone's wanting to do something but not knowing where to turn.
We need to get going on that.
Yeah.
We do. Well, we need to get going on it this summer. And honestly, I can't attend those CTA meetings on Monday afternoons. I had to request this afternoon off for this meeting.
Yeah.
So I can't be at a 4 o'clock meeting also.
Right.
So.
I responded to one of the commissioners in that it was impossible to do the job that I was invited out here to do, a job that was created for me to do, but then on the other, then also, validate why it needs to exist at the same time. It's really hard.
And we can do that. Just wondering, yeah. Has anybody done anything? And I think, can we start?
My recommendation would be, and you know, as you can see from the calendar, I already have the next fiscal year calendar mm-hmm. on my desk, and that includes Arts Advocacy Day at the Legislature Building, Post Arts Advocacy Day Party, our new show at the airport. So there are two more years on the clock for funding of my position. And I think that everyone needs that response in a year or less for budgeting, for
so scheduling. Fellow commissioners, help me with this. What can we do?
I'd be more than happy to attend the Monday meetings with the CTA, and I think we need to start conversation with individual supervisors.
I mean, I could offer a letter.
People and letters.
But,
it's time, Mark. That clock is going to run very right. quickly.
You know, and I'm
the property owners also.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
I think what we need is really clear definition on what paperwork it requires, what agenda it needs to be on. What is the legal language? You know, it's, you know, I'm the last one to the table here, so it's difficult for me to really.
So I would be happy to approach the executive director and ask him how best mm-hmm. to go about this. What needs to happen first? Do we show up at the meeting? Do we get on the agenda and then show up on the meeting? Do we get letters of support from people in the business community? I mean, and I'm happy to do that on my days mm-hmm. off, but mm-hmm. Monday 4 o'clock meetings are not a go for me. So, I mean, I wanna help, and I know we can help. We
right.
The community got you here, so we can definitely take the next step. We can try.
Todd, can I ask you a question regarding this? Would it be my understanding that the commissioners here could all approach the Visitors Bureau office, the CTA, individually as citizens?
Oh, this is Todd Reese for the record. I have to steal a mic because I sat down and I'm a creature of habit and I sit down in this spot every meeting. And
I'd like to thank Todd for filling in for Ben tonight.
Mic here. Yes, the commissioners can individually approach CTA without, I assume you're thinking about open meeting law requirements, that sort of thing. And if you do things individually, there's no concern about that.
So then if he gives me some direction on how to move forward with approaching his board, how do I get that information out?
To this board?
Or to the arts community? Through my private email? Do we put it on an agenda and I come back and report to this commission?
Yeah, there would be several ways of approaching it. I'm not the correct person to ask as far as distributing it to the community. Mark, perhaps you and I or you and Ben can work on that. But as far as reporting back, certainly you could bring it back to the board on an agenda item, or you could talk with Mark as far as what needs to happen, or depending on Dave, as I recalled, Dave Peterson, depending on what he suggests, maybe there's a different path forward.
Thank you.
To your concern, I think what we need to do is have a rough plan of the steps. This needs to happen, this needs to happen, this needs to happen, and then go in and try to figure out the details. I'm at a loss, to be honest with you, for the big steps. I think that's going to be something that the city manager's office, the mayor, the board of supervisors, this board, and the CTA board is going to have to have a super convention over.
And let me jump back in again. There is a large legal aspect to that, and Ben will certainly have to be involved. And certainly the city manager's office should be involved as well with, I don't know if instigating is the right word, but following through with that.
I think making you and your offices aware of our concern and our desire to be supportive and to get this so that it's ongoing, because we don't want to have to keep going every 5 years going, gee, are we going to be here or aren't we? And we want Mark. And I right. think there are 7 people on this commission who are going to tell you he's done, we think, a wonderful job. So we know we're going to start having to move forward, and we want people to be apprised of that fact.
And we don't want to make any legal errors.
Yeah, no errors.
Right. I will, when Ben gets back, I will give him a heads up on this and ask him to contact yourself as chair and Mark, and hopefully he can figure out a good path forward.
Thank you.
Mark, back to you. Where was I? Okay, so there was one statistic I wanted to bring up back on this master sheet. You'll see TBA at the bottom. I didn't have the number when I had to post this publicly. But the balance, let's say, in cash right now that we have accumulated is $65,000. So that's what we have so far. And so if you look at this number, 73,000 times that by 2.5 years as an average, you'll find that 65,000 is a healthy third of that. So not only have I been able to save a third, but we're making progress with that, with the other two-thirds, you know what I mean? So there's where we are. So there is money in the bank at $65,000. Does that, is that, that's something for the commission to consider on these large projects like the DOT project, you know? But that's just part of the awareness I wanted to give everyone.
Let's keep that in the futures. We know it's there, but let's not use it. Is it earning interest?
It does earn interest, okay. Yeah. Each department has interest on it.
Okay.
I ask a question.
Sure.
In moving line items on the budget and in lieu of a potential motion, you wanted to pull $1,000 out of the Celebrate Culture.
Celebrate Culture.
Do you want to push that over to the Paint Sip and Chip since your attendance was and seems to grow?
I would welcome that.
Idea.
Okay. All right.
I'd welcome that. And, you know, of course, anything that's not spent is, right. is in reserve. And but, yeah, you know, I think the Celebrate Culture grant is a fantastic grant. I think $8,000. I think that $1,000 could be used this fiscal year on developing something.
I think it's a good direction. How does everybody else feel? Back, everybody?
I would just like to comment that I think it's important to add more events that are cultural events that we can support with that Celebrate Culture grant. I guess I'm just a little unclear on how that is going to be utilized.
Sure. So I can speak to that. Before any of this paperwork, people were coming to my office and asking for funding or support or collaboration, whether it was in staff time or an actual dollar amount, and wanting to make this taxpayer money, visitor tax transparent. What I wanted to do was make sure that that specific paragraph in the Arts and Culture Master Plan that says that the cultural commission's goals shall support multicultural diversity of art, American, Hispanic, Native American, Asian, and other ethnic and folk expressions of culture alongside traditional Eurocentric art forms. I wanted to make sure that that these events, whether it's the Day of the Dead, Lei Day, Chinese New Year Parade, or any other new one that we haven't seen yet, has an outlet. And that outlet is no longer on me, but on this board. You know, the redevelopment grant is $25,000. This is a third of it, $8,000. And in my notes since I've been here for the past 2.5 years, I've earmarked money that falls under that description in the Arts and Culture Master Plan. From 2007 to present, it was $5,400. And my proposed for 1920 was $8,000, hoping that this would bring Basque events, African American events, and that sort of stuff. So the opportunity to support culture is actually the largest item on the bill, aside of the DOT roundabout project, which is going to probably have a price tag of $70,000. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it, we're actually dedicating a new grant. We're dedicating it, and upon the commission's approval of the next item on the last item on our agenda, I would be posting that not only to all the applicants who have applied in the past, but publicly as best I can on social media and emails and other Muni arts directors throughout the state, throughout Carson.
Thank you. I just think that thank you for that explanation. That helps a lot. I think we should be supporting more events that bring music and food, because that's how we can bring everyone together. So any possibility of getting applicants, you know, that have that type of...
Well, they're going to go in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm certainly not going to put together, I'm not going to dive into what Commissioner Abel does, her big event this Wednesday. I'm not going to try to touch that, but we can fund those organizations who need a little bit extra on putting together those cultural references that can build out our community.
May I ask a question here?
Yeah.
Because I have a little bit of a concern for this. There are many, many not-for-profit and groups within the city who want to put on events and want to do things. We are an arts and culture commission. The support that we lend or give, does it have dimension? In other words, are we supplying the cakes and cookies, or are we supplying an art contest, or are we, what is this money going to be used for? And I would assume that these organizations are going to be raising their own funds, and they need a little kick of an assistance and support by us as a cultural commission that we support what they're doing. Am I correct in that understanding?
Well, all of that's spelled out in the grant application guidelines and
an
application which I gave you.
I just wanted it in the public record.
If the application didn't meet those requirements, then we wouldn't fund it.
Yeah. So what I would, just following the agenda here, 5A would be possible action on the budget and the calendar, and then the next item would be nominating that last column commissioners for those potential projects year-round.
With that, then, Mark, I'd like to move to approve the Department of Arts and Culture's recommended project calendar and budget for public art programming for fiscal year 19-20, with the exception that under Celebrate Arts and Culture, we reduce that to $7,000 and move that $1,000 to the line item for the paint, sip, and chip under your department budget.
Do I have a second?
I would second that motion.
Okay. Now, any discussion? Anybody want to add anything to this before we take it to a vote? All right. We'll call the motion for a public vote, one by one.
Chair DeNeo?
Approve. Yes.
Vice Chair Ramirez?
Approved.
Commissioner Abad?
Approved.
Commissioner Bugley?
Aye.
Commissioner Leva?
Approved.
Commissioner McBride?
Aye.
Commissioner McCormick?
Approved.
It unanimously passes.
Thank you.
So before we go to a public art panel, under that you'll see three new programs. Date is unknown. The amount of money is unknown. You know, projects are going to come to us. They always do. At the last convention I was at, I introduced myself to my colleague in Sacramento, and we were tossing around the idea of a capital-to-capital exchange and what that might look like, whether it's musicians or whether it's artwork. They're totally on board with it. That's, you know, in the future. The Carson City Neighborhood Improvement District, I don't think they're here tonight, no. They approached me with money that they want to put towards sculptures or murals in downtown. And then finally, Nevada Fine Art Store and Gallery, they were interested in possibly having a Carson City show or something like that there. So these projects are coming to us. And, you know, I imagine next year at this time, the commissioners will have ideas. The public will have ideas. I think this is a good template just to get us up and going. So that these next meetings can be reports on this, and so that the public and the commissioners and, you know, everyone knows that we already have our plans, and that we are going to have to postpone or say no to some great projects, unfortunately, if we've already spoken for our time and our money.
I have to back up just for a moment, please, because one thing I didn't do, and I apologize to all of the public, a public comment on any of this agenda item 5A, B, and C. I saw a hand at one point. Somebody wanted to say something. Okay, we're done with it. Okay, you're okay with it. All right, thank you.
I just wanted to comment that our unanimous approval included those three new programs with unknown items. So it is in the record.
Right. Those are just, like I said, in the description, it says in discussions. There's a lot of good stuff coming, you know, things pop up, yeah. So, Chair, Danae, do you want to go to the next item, 5E?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to pick up on the Celebrate Culture grant.
Where are we public art panels.
Public art panel. Public art panels. Yes, we have a few of those, too.
So what about our youth ambassadors, commissioners?
Yeah.
Is your tenure 1 year, or is it?
No, it's a standard
3 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I could target both of you.
You're going to target them?
Okay.
The Cultural Commission will identify commissioners who are available to serve on public art panels as necessary to review public art submissions for possible acquisition by the city. As per the public art policy, which is a draft presented on April 14th, 2019, at the special commission meeting, we set a specialized ad hoc public art panel consisting of an odd number of panelists will be assembled and chaired by the Arts and Culture Coordinator, comprising of at least two cultural commissioners, applicable constituencies, art professionals, and project stakeholders representing the community at large.
So the largest project here is going to be the DOT roundabout sculpture. I'm recommending three commissioners. This will probably unfold next year. One of the early meetings that we had for this roundabout sculpture, I think there were probably 20 people at the table. The mayor was there, Supervisor Barrett, engineers, public works. That's probably what the cross-section of this public art panel is going to look like. I'd feel good if we had three commissioners on that. For the Carson City school murals, we have a pencil date in. That's a Monday, July 29th, and that would be to review mural applicants, and we'd be awarding those applicants that same day. That's going to be a very quick one. Two commissioners for the Mayor Arts Award, and that's actually to help choose an artist to make four or five trophies for categories we have yet to determine. But like the ELCO says, individual artists, arts educator, arts organization, service to the arts, honorary award, two honorary awards. And then lastly, fast-forwarding June 2020, two commissioners for, a healing arts residency program. So, you know, if the commissioners could sort of see where their strengths are and throw their names out, we have enough. We have 9 vacancies and 7 commissioners, so two commissioners would have to be on two panels.
Can I volunteer?
Certainly.
Okay, I'd like to be on the DOT roundabout. And I'd also like to be on the Healing Arts Residency.
Funny you should say that. I was going to say the same thing because I'm into hospitals. And
let's start.
I'll volunteers. Put my name in the hat for those two. Healing Arts. Okay, next, how about the school murals?
I would volunteer for that.
Okay,
great.
Terrific.
We need one more.
I will volunteer.
Who's that first?
It is.
Okay, I'll volunteer for that one.
Okay. Terrific. Great, guys. Good. Wonderful. Okay, Mayor's Arts Awards.
I'll volunteer for
that one. And I will volunteer too.
Ellie and Lupe.
And then I still need one more commissioner for the DOT. We have Commissioner Abel, Commissioner Danao.
This is Terry McBride. I'll volunteer for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. So now everybody has a panel that they're going to be
So I'll just repeat what I have written down, and Commissioner Danelle, you'll, or someone who will make the motion repeating this. For the DOT roundabout sculpture, Commissioner Abowd, Commissioner Danao, Commissioner McBride. For the mural, Commissioner McCormick, Commissioner Ramirez. For the Mayor Arts Award, Commissioner Bugley, Commissioner Ramirez. And for the Healing Arts Residency, Commissioner Abowd, Commissioner Danao.
That's what I heard.
Wait, for the mural, is it two or three?
The mural is two.
Two.
So it's you and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Okay, may I have a motion to... Well, it's not on the agenda. Can we do that?
It's part of it.
It's part of it. All right. Okay. May I have a motion to approve...
I move to approve the list of nominees for the four different public arts panels as read in the record by Mark Salinas.
Second.
In favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carries. Okay. That was done quickly and well. Okay. So... Are we going 5C?
Yes.
You what? Discussion and possible action regarding the final draft of the Celebrate Culture grant guidelines, application form, and final report form to be introduced.
Chair Danao, before you move on,
yes.
There is a line item for public comment at this time, too.
Okay. Sorry about that. Any public comments?
I don't see any.
I have one little comment. And it's about the fish project, the recycled project. The Arts and Culture Coalition has a recycled garden art project with a display on August 9th at the Bliss Mansion. And that the timing might not be right for your project, but maybe we could talk separately about how to coordinate the two.
I'll send you a calendar once we have one together. That sounds a great idea, though. What was the date for that? August?
August 9th.
August 9th, okay.
It's a Friday.
Now we'll move. Any other public comments? Anybody want to say anything? We're going to move on. Okay, the final report form for the guidelines, application form, and so on to be introduced to the fiscal year 1920 and as annually budgeted by the Department of Arts and Culture with funds from the Arts and Culture 1% Transient Occupancy Tax.
Okay, last item here. What we have is... I've taken the edits since January that you've given me, and the most of them, or all of them, are on the application form itself and the final report. The application itself, I rearranged some of the questions, making some more of a priority than others, changed the language, so I thought it was stronger, so that what they're explaining is first and foremost. And then on the final report, I deleted 6 and 7. We'll leave the statistics and surveying to those organizations. The original intent there, of course, was just to see how effective the event could be in actually bringing those that it's supposed to represent to the event itself. All other language is the same, and on the screen we have the actual calendar. So today's discussion, possible action, provided if it's approved tonight, by the week's end, I would send the notice out to eligible recipients. I would send it out to all past recipients, to all past people who have come to my office looking for grants that would fit into this new category, put it out publicly. But it would be a rolling basis for this year, meaning that in February of 2020, that's when I start promoting the redevelopment. I'm also going to start promoting this grant. And then in May, whether this is one night or two nights, we score both the redevelopment, as we always have, but also the Celebrate Culture. So for any activities this fall, those will be the first ones that will come here in front of you, probably for our September meeting. Our November meeting always falls on Veterans Day, so you'll see in the agenda that's TBA. We'll move that around. The November meeting is on November 11th, but our awards is on November 13th. We'll work out a schedule. We'll work out that schedule. But so it's going to be the challenge for me is going to be, well, imagine redevelopment if that stuff was coming to me all throughout the year. And imagine how burdensome it would be for the commission to sort of vote piecemeal and not really having all the applicants together to sort of to see what we have, just make sure it's robust, make sure the there's excellence in it. So when those applicants come in front of you, they're going to use the same scoring system as the redevelopment. The only difference is going to be because this is $7,000 and not $25,000, we're not going to do the ask times the score yielding that first number. I want the scores to be up there for the applicant to see where they can grow, what their strengths are, for the commission to think of that dollar amount, and then there will be discussion upon that dollar amount.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark, the one thing that I noticed on page 38 of our packet, it says no receipts are required. My only concern about that is justifying the monies, because any unspent monies they don't get to keep, that comes back. So how do we do that if there's no receipts required?
Many other grantors do it that way. When you do your final report, you're signing that this is how you spent the money, and you return if there's any left.
And there are JPEGs from the event that are asked in that final report. There are grants that work in both ways, both methods I've personally applied for, where they want to see the receipts. Others just want an invoice. For my purposes with finance, I'm going to need that invoice. For my purposes with this board, I'm going to need the final report, which I'm going to bring to you, which all of you are going to have a copy, and that imagery. I can probably follow up in my commissioner reports, my monthly commissioner reports. There is accountability there. I'm just trying to weigh the efficiency sometimes with the paperwork and the staffing. You know, for the redevelopment, because it's three developments and because it's 25, yeah, I think we should go through. We do go through the asking for receipts.
Yeah.
For this, because it's much smaller and sort of a pilot, mm-hmm. I would seek the commission's okay on this, and we'll see how it is next year if we have to implement that or not.
Some of the grantors select a certain percentage to do a desk audit, and those supply receipts, and the others don't.
Mm-hmm. We'll work through.
But thank you for bringing that
we'll
up.
We'll see how it goes for the first round. Any public comments?
I have a comment, actually. Yes. Go ahead. So I'm excited that we have this small fund, rotating fund, and then in the future forward, an annual fund for not just cultural events. And Lupe, I appreciate your focus on getting cultural events and happenings going on around the city to build community. But I also have always wanted some pot of money for individual artists,
right,
to come, because they can't apply for the RAC funds. They're not a nonprofit, and so I'm glad that there'll be little amounts of money for individual artists who are willing to share their art with the community. Mm-hmm. Yes,
right. Under eligibility, this is for organization or individual.
Terrific. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Very, very good move. I don't see any public comments, so shall we move on to item 6?
Let's make the motion.
This is Terry McBride. I move to approve the final draft of the Celebrate Culture Grant Guidelines, application form, and final report form as presented.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And I vote aye. Moving on, discussion items only. Get to hear from our stalwart arts and culture report.
I don't have a report. That was basically it in that Excel sheet. That's what we're going to be sticking to going forward, giving reports as I have information on those items. We're literally jumping into it tomorrow. Yeah. You know, pulling the trigger on a lot of these things tomorrow. Yeah.
Can I say on behalf of the board, job well done on everything you've brought to us tonight. Very clear, understandable, and I think workable. I think everybody agrees. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark, for that. Commissioner reports and or comments.
Wednesday night's it for Concert Under the Stars. We are approaching sellout. This is the biggest event we've ever done. So it comes with trepidation, but also, you know, we're looking forward to it. So, and people are coming. If they want to know if music brings people here, the inquiries have come from Canada. They've come from across the United States. I mean, it's unbelievable. So that's where we are.
Yeah, that's where we are. Anybody else?
Okay, so I had a couple who came from Reno to join us for the Mother's Day Gala dinner, and they actually informed me about an opportunity for us to reach out to them and promote art events. The name of their newspaper is called Ahora Latino Journal, and this is a Spanish newspaper which would give us here in the community the opportunity to promote our programs or our events to the Latino community. And I know that we have had inquiries from previous presenters of how do we reach out to the Latino community. This is definitely one way. And they also do they're doing a play. It's a bilingual play that is going to be offered on the 15th, 16th, and 17th and 18th of August in Reno, and I have some publicity here that I'd like to share with you guys in hopes that you guys are able to go and see them and enjoy it and kind of learn something new, you know, something that might, you know, be interesting. And being bilingual, I think we would all appreciate it. So I will distribute this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe we'll have a few for folks in the audience if they'd like to have them. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So Mile High Jazz Band, Big Band, is performing tomorrow night at Living the Good Life with Jackie Ford, vocalist. And then the Jazz and Beyond Festival is coming along, and I have calendars, preliminary calendars that can be passed out, and bookmarks with the website to get all the details about the different bands. And the bookmark is a piece cut out of the winning artwork that's being used for the poster and for the program cover.
That's nice.
By Rita Hanks.
That's nice. Well done. Yeah, it's a nice one. Thank you. Anything else anyone wants to share?
I just have an announcement to make that I will be participating as a judge at the 24-hour plus mural competition for Reno is Art Town.
Yay!
I'm happy to help and participate. I'm really excited to be part of that. So.
And maybe while you're there, you can spread the news of our mural RFP.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's coming up this Sunday.
So just to announce the upcoming meeting and meetings and events, September 9th, 5:30.
Let's go. Future agenda items.
Pardon me?
Future agenda items.
Oh, future agenda.
Anyone?
Anybody want anything they want calendared?
Okay.
I'd like a report from the concert.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Okay. How about yourself?
No, what about the agenda item?
No. Agenda item?
No.
No?
Oh. We'll see. Yeah. I will work with Mark to see if we need to put an agenda item on my discussions with the CTA.
CTA. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? No? Okay, September 9th, the next Cultural Commission meeting, and to be announced in November, the regular meeting, which year-end meeting. Any other public comments or discussion? 3-minute limit. Thank you all for coming. And can I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Have a second. I think we're all in favor.
Yes.
Aye, aye, aye. Aye. We're done. That was a big agenda, Mark. Wow.
It always is.
Yeah.